and then we're going to Minneapolis and Chicago.
Okay.
Detroit.
Chicago.
Yeah. Oh, wow. So where's Chicago, we're playing the Aragon Ballroom.
Oh, okay, nice.
Yeah. So I think we're about to sell it out.
That's awesome.
She's a big venue person. That's what she knows all about.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love that ballroom.
Yeah, it's
so nice. It's so cool.
The only thing that is not cool there is the sound.
Yeah, the acoustics sound
is,
are not great.
The acoustics is quite horrible.
Yeah.
Due to the dome.
Mm-hmm.
Have you been there before?
Yeah. Two times before.
That's awesome.
One time with the Chainsmokers and one time solo.
Okay, awesome.
Very cool.
And then before we got rolling, you talked about how this tour is going to be a bit more party music opposed to kind of the slower stuff you usually like doing. Do you want to talk about that again just so we can get that on film?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
So my last tour was called Holy Moly. It kind of was like a party tour, that too. Not very serious, like just me on the road and pulling up a party. But the one before that, One in a Million, was my debut album tour. So we did only like album music.
Yeah.
So we did pieces and like all the songs on the album. So
I love your song with Max.
Oh yeah, Lonely. Yeah, thank you.
Where do you pull a lot of inspiration from for your own music?
You.
Me?
People. Yeah, people inspire me.
I'm so flattered. Wow.
Where do you get that from? Like, so how do you decide what?
I think just traveling and meeting people and hearing their stories and I met so many incredible people that have told me, like, open up their heart. I think that's the beauty of music, like I don't know you, but we know each other through the music, and then they can open up and give me experiences of their life based on the fact of that song that they've used to either like in happy times or in sad times or in times of struggle, like, and it's a powerful thing, and that really, really, really inspires me.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
When did you, sorry, go ahead.
No, keep going.
Yeah. Just kind of like bouncing off of that again, when did you really decide that like music was for you? What sparked that inspiration of wanting to share with the world?
I don't know.
You know.
I think it came in a very, very, very early age of my life.
How long have you been doing that?
DJing, I've been doing for 12 years, but I played the classical piano before that. So, and I always loved to perform. Just the excitement and the kick that you get out of it, like beforehand, all the nerve-wracking moment, like time right before you go on stage, like you're cribbling and like you're shaking because you're nervous of the show, and then when you go on, like you just feel one with everything.
You have big adrenaline rushes, would you say? Like an adrenaline rush?
Maybe afterwards, like you have a lot of adrenaline, but not before. And it's a very hard thing to explain because it's so unique.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you unleash this energy power when you go on stage and you like puts on that first song and you hit the keys and like you, and then you see the reaction of the people. It's you feel like you're one with them, and beforehand you're like you feel like you just don't belong.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So it's kind of its own universe. Like, and for that 1.5 hour or that hour or those 2 hours you're playing, that's the only thing you're thinking about.
Mm.
You don't have anything else going on in your head except the connection with the music and the people. So I find that very, like it's almost like a drug.
Yeah.
That's very cool. How'd you get the name Matoma?
So Matoma came from my brother. We were at this Calvin Harris concert like 7 years ago, eight years ago. And we had such a good time in Trondheim, back in Trondheim, the city where I studied and we lived for, I'm still living there. It's like a small fishing city in Norway, like a lot of like oil people and it's one of the oldest cities in Norway. And they have also the biggest student community there. So we went to college there. And Calvin Harris came and had a concert on his European tour or something. And and we just wanted to continue the party. So we brought it back to our apartment, and then we got drunk, of course, and we were partying, and my brother, he came up to me and he like, Tom, you're starting to make really good music, but your name sucks. I'm just saying this because you're my brother Love, but like your name is just like shit.
It's my uncle's name, so I get it.
Tom?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, not my name, but okay. my artist name before, yeah. Matoma.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What was your artist name prior?
I can't tell you.
Is that bad?
Yeah. And I kind of had my pride in it because I had just made my logo and like fixed like my web page and everything, and it was very serious because I finally had this logo, and then my brother came up and like, fuck, you couldn't tell me this before I made it. Spent like $1,000 on the logo. And he was like, oh, fuck you, you have to change it. It's bad. And then we started a really heavy argument. And that argument became quite aggressive. And then one of my friends, he came in and he like pushed us to the side and said like, Tom, Dan, why do you always have to fight? Can't you take life easy, Hakuna Matata? My brother wanted to backphrase Hakuna Matata, but he was apparently very drunk and he pronounced it wrong and he said Hakuna Matoma. And I was just, shit, Matoma, that's fucking sick.
That's awesome.
So to not forget it, we found like a marker and we wrote it on the living table. And then the next day when we woke up, we went down in the living room, it was Matoma on the whole table.
That's cool.
And I called the guy that had designed like my other artist name and the logo, and I said, you have to change it. And I sent him the name, and that's when he made like the Matoma logo.
That's awesome. Do you still have that table?
No.
With the Matoma, you don't?
We threw it away because it was a moving gift from my parents, and I was so embarrassed. And I didn't know like 7 years later I would be one of the biggest like... international artist coming out from Norway.
Yeah.
So
I'm sure it's on eBay now. Someone's selling it.
I think it's just
trash.
People probably like made wood bricks off it and put it in the fire.
Yeah. Okay.
But that's how I got my name.
No, I'm all good. Yeah.
One more. What is one artist you would want to work with that you haven't worked with yet?
I kind of work with him, but. Kind of also haven't, because I did the official remix for his song Miami, but I never met him in person, Will Smith.
Okay.
Yeah, so he's on my bucket list.
Okay.
For sure.
Other than that, do you have any like other aspirations or goals for your music?
Reach more people, do more good, be an inspiration, spread positivity and love. I feel like there's much talent in music, but there's also much douchebags in music. You find those people in all different industries, but I kind of want to just try to focus on being a good role model and using my social media for good, and seeing like all this, like I understand people that comes from like certain areas in the world, and then suddenly they have tremendous amount of success, and then they have a lot of money and they want to show off and spend them because it's their right. But I think in the process of that, you lose the connection with the people in the world that you should lead as a good role model and good example. And I come from a very small town in Norway, with only 1,000 people, and we are very grounded to the place where we grew up. And for me, knowing that I'm doing something that so many dream about doing, I don't want to ruin it with behaving inappropriately, behaving irresponsible, and try to rather be like a good role model and where the kids can look up to me and say like, oh wow, I want to be like Matoma.
Definitely. I think that's really refreshing, especially I feel like in the realm of like DJs and that kind of like party music,
hip-hop and party music, and like just look at the whole hip-hop industry in the US right now. It's just so trashy and so fake, and so like, it's like, where is the personality?
Yeah, and I think a lot of people try to breed like their realness and personality off of that. And it's kind of, I feel like it does create barriers between the humanity between artist and listener, for sure.
100%. And I'm just like a regular guy coming from a small town in Norway that loves making music and loves spreading positivity throughout my music. And if I can do that in a way where I can also inspire kids to if they're on the bus and they see an older person standing, like, ask them if they want to sit.
Yeah.
Don't sit there and trash talk others. And I feel like how the world is just, it's very self-centered. Everything is me, 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 me. And for me, it's more about like so back in Norway, I just 2 years ago, I started this foundation where I give scholarships to kids that just want to follow their dreams. And it can be anything, like if you're a chess player and you want to just explore the opportunity to meet like the best chess player in the world, Magnus Carlsen or whatever, or if you're a skier, or if you're like a mathematician and you want to see how schools in the US is, like we can provide with that service.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not about like fame or about becoming a celebrity or like you pursuing a dream of being this star.
Mm-hmm.
It's more about the process of finding yourself. And I think that's an important aspect of life.
Definitely.
Believe in yourself and finding yourself.
Do you think there's a culture thing with America versus Norway? Because this, I know
you. No, we have. We have.
Like that selfishness.
I'm seeing it more and more in Norway too.
Okay.
Yeah, I think social media is a very dangerous thing when it's misused, and a lot of people is gaining their success based on showing a fake life that doesn't transparent how the kids actually see the world. You know,
yeah.
It's very important to understand that what's like social media today is like soap opera was back in the 90s when you watch television, but
sure. But
then you knew that this isn't real.
Yeah.
Now it's like people's real life is kind of posted about and shown about, but I can guarantee that their life isn't like how they are posting.
Right.
And I find that very humane. Unhumane, I mean.
Do you think on the flip side of that with the internet, the internet can do good, like bringing people from
The internet is doing great things. Just take the bushfires in Australia, how much money that got raised due to that. Like back 100 years ago, like if that had happened, like you wouldn't know about it.
Screwed, yeah.
So there is good in social media. It's just like the filter of how people are using it and also how people are seeing it. And I just think younger people have a harder time filtering that than people that are a bit older. But even people on my age, like suddenly like discovers like, oh, I should change my whole life due to some person they saw on social media. So it can be used to good, but it could also be used to do bad things. So.
All right.
I got
another one actually.
Yeah.
Growing up in Norway, was there a lot of American influence in the music you listened to?
Yes.
Yeah.
It was.
Yeah. Who'd you listen to?
I listen a lot to. So when I was 7 years old, my brother introduced me to American hip hop.
Okay.
Yeah. Like the old school stuff, Snoop and Biggie and Tupac and Wu-Tang Clan and Bone Thugs and Harmony and all those great rappers. But we didn't know about the cultural thing. For me, I listened to the music, I didn't understand it. But then when I got older, I got curious about why are they rapping about these things. And I bought books about like their rap culture and their history. And it was so interesting. But rap music compared to rap music today is just like two different worlds. I feel like back in the days, they could rap about the same things they are doing today, just with an entertainment side of it. Today, it's actually they rapping about it because they think they're living like that, you know? So Biggie was an entertainer, like he knew. He knew his boundaries, he knew, like he just entertained through his music. But today I feel like the rappers, they have to live how they rap, and it doesn't correspond. It's very, yeah, it doesn't have the same charm as it had back in the days. So you have a couple ones though that are great, but I definitely don't understand that mumble rap. See, it's huge over here, but I think it's because kids, they love to headbang, and that's the music they can headbang to. Yeah, you had the same, you had like kids 20 years ago had punk, and today it's like mumble rap.
Yeah, definitely. Outside of the mumble rappers and the people you don't think identify, what are the few rappers that you do enjoy of today?
Of today?
Yeah.
Kendrick Lamar. Yeah, in that lane.
Yeah.
And they have big messages in their songs.
And they've actually gone through the struggle.
Yeah. No, but I'm not saying that the Mumbles rappers haven't gone through any struggle. I'm just saying they're using their platform on a very, like, they could have used it to so much good, but rather they want to flash about private jets and girls and being in the strip clubs and like showing off money and stuff like that. And maybe they are doing some good, like maybe they have an organization that gives out scholarship, but nobody knows about it because that's something they don't talk about, because they have to keep their image.
Yeah.
Everything is based on image.
Definitely.
And it's just like, for me, it's so unpersonal that it's hard for me to connect to it.
Yeah, I
get that. But I also think like Norway is such a great example of socialism and like we have certain standards in life where we end up, how can I say this in a way of not?
Say it however you need to say it.
here in the US, it's like if you work for something and you kind of, you have that success, it's your success. And you preserve it as yours. But my success, I feel, comes from just knowing that if I had failed, I would still have been able to go to school. I would still have been able to, yeah, sure. Like I would have like a little more debt than my brother, but still school is like college. You don't have to pay for Medicare, like healthcare. You don't have to pay for.
Sign me up.
It's the system in Norway and Scandinavia for people, I think, people are more calm in life. They are more chilled because they don't have to worry about those things. Like you can work at the grocery store and have a good salary and have a happy life because you, if that's what you want, you do it. But but over here, like working in the grocery store, you solely rely on tip. So it's a system I don't understand, coming from a country like Norway.
Yeah,
makes sense.
And also what one thing that pisses me off is that when people say like, yeah, but Norway has oil, the US has oil as well. Like just in the Mexico Gulf itself, it's 4,000 platforms of pumps pumping up oil. Yeah. In Norway we have 29 platforms, but it's how the government preserve their natural resources to the country. Here in the US, it's like everything is privatized. So if you owe land and you have oil that you discover, that's your oil. In Norway, if you as a private person want to drill up oil where you live, you can do that. But the government goes in and says, we are going to owe more stocks in the company, so 55%. So we have the majority of the stocks in the company. And you also have to pay 75% tax of what you're taking out as a natural resources to the country. Statoil, for example, is a private company, but they are governed by the government. But they're still one of the richest companies in Norway due to oil.
Mm-hmm.
But that is how Norway has the budget, has the needs where we can actually pay for welfare, we can pay for like the socialism,
mm-hmm. yeah.
contra the US, where you have 100 people that owes 99% of the
yeah.
the wealth in the country. For me, that's just like, it's crazy.
It is.
Definitely.
Well, thank you so much for doing this.
Thank you again. If we could get pictures, that would be amazing for our social media platforms. Then.
Yeah.
Okay. Awesome. Do you want to? Take it, or how do you
want to
do it?
So do you do my phone,
it'll be easier. I would like to say that there's also great things with America, though.
It's not like I'm trash talking the US.
How they run their
company. I won't make it seem like you trash talk.
But I do,
a free country, it's like you're kind of allowed to do what you want, but unless you're in that 1%, there's only so high up that you can go.
Yeah.
So there's this dream that you can get there, but you never really can unless you're born into it, if that makes sense. So
there's a lot
you can do, but there's also a lot of setbacks.
I do believe in the freedom of being taken care of when it comes to the few basic things in life.
Definitely.
Medical school,
mm-hmm.
giving the right to learn and to make your choice.
Mm-hmm.
And the US isn't there right now. And they probably won't be. Because just how the system, like you have to change a system that is 300 years old.
Definitely.
And the people on top, they don't want that to change because they mm-hmm. are making so much money.
Mm-hmm. And it's sad because it's like both sides kind of like one says they want change, but like when they were in office, they didn't. And obviously, like the Trump administration, they'll never come change from that. So like both sides, even though the left side says they'll do that, they haven't. So
but it's kind of messy. You can be voted in as a Senate.
Yeah.
But you can sit as a Senate your whole life.
Mm-hmm.
In Norway, you can only sit for 12 years. In office.
Yeah.
That's it. Because fact is just after a certain time of period, you start working for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You can start having a good intention, mm-hmm. but over time, being in a system like...